Hey everybody! Welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, a Tales from the Crypt review. My name is Melissa, your ghostess with the mostest, and today's episode is Season 2, Episode 9, Four-Sided Triangle. Now, I haven't seen this episode in a long time, and it didn't always stand out to me, but actually I really enjoyed this episode. It was pretty... I mean, it had its moments where it was kind of like overtly sexual, where it was like, okay, I get it, you know, but then at the end it had a really fun twist that I really enjoyed, so that was nice, and so you're just like, yeah, so it was pretty fun. So I'm gonna go ahead here, and again, like I said, it's Season 2, Episode 9, Four-Sided Triangle. As always, John Cassier is the voice of the Crypt Keeper, and Danny Elfman does the theme song. I'm gonna ahead and read the description here. The Last Straw. A seemingly mad woman held captive on a farm insists that the Scarecrow is alive. Now, this episode aired in May 29th, 1990. It stars Patricia Arquette, who you would know from TV's Medium and TV's Boardwalk Empire and many other things. It also stars Chelsea Ross, who has been in TV's Mad Men and the movie Major League, and Susan J. Blomart, who is also from TV's The Blacklist. The screenplay was written by James Toogan and Tom Holland, and it was directed by Tom Holland, who also directed the movie Thinner and Child's Play, and I believe he did another episode we already touched on for Tales from the Crypt. And this one opens up with the Crypt Keeper, and he's counting petals off of a flower, and he's dressed up kind of farm-like, and it's cute. He's got a little, like, strawish kind of hat and a little, like, a plaid button-up shirt, and he's, you know, talking about love and flowers and how, you know, how there's... wasn't worth it, you know, there's nothing in it anyway. He even says, opening up the show, that it is like a tawdry tale, and this one is, and it's mostly because, as I'll get into it more, it's mostly because Patricia Arquette's character doesn't wear a bra, like, this whole episode, which I don't know if that was just, she just didn't want to, but it seems like it had a lot to do with the episode, and it just kind of stuck out a lot. Not that I have a problem with that, it's fine, but it was just like, I don't know, we'll get into it. So it starts the episode, and it opens up at a farmhouse, and Patricia Arquette is a young girl. I think she's like 22 in this, but I think she's supposed to be a little younger. And her name is Mary Jo, and she works for a couple named Mr. and Mrs. Yates. Mrs. Yates is kind of crippled, or she has like a cane and a metal attachment to her leg that really gives her a really rough walk. Like, it would have probably been better had the knee been able to bend, but it doesn't. So she has to really work to walk down and all around the house. So Mrs. Yates is walking down the stairs, and she's grumpy. She finds out her coffee's not made, breakfast isn't on the table, you know, she doesn't smell anything. She's upset. So she comes yelling up for Mary Jo.
Mary Jo, where's my coffee?
You know, she just starts throwing some clothes on and grabs thing, and Mrs. Yates, whose first name is Louisa, and Mr. Yates, his name is George. So Louisa is yelling at Mary Jo and is like, you know, you overslept, get up. She basically is kind of the, like a house servant kind of thing for them on the farm to help her. And Mrs. Yates is pretty rude. And so she, you know, she's throwing on clothes, Mary Jo is, and so she yells at her to get out there and go collect eggs. She's like, at least you can handle that. You know, get out there and go collect eggs. You know, and so she runs out of the house, you know, throwing her clothes on. She's got like some pants and everything. And in the midst of putting her clothes on, she just didn't put on a bra. And it's pretty apparent, you know, it's because everything she wears, every top in this episode, she's wearing a white top. Like, she throws on a gray sweater right now, but she's mostly wearing white clothes, white top, white, she has a cute outfit on later that's, yeah, it's a completely see-through white top, where I'm just like, okay, you know, I mean, I get it, because this episode is about, basically, okay, so she's walking over to the barn to get the chicken, to get the eggs, and Mr. Yates is working on a car, and he's an older man. They're both an older couple, Mr. and Mrs. Yates. I'd say they're probably, like, early 50s or something. And he's very much into Mary Jo. You can tell right away. It's almost, it's pretty gross, like, the way he looks at her, in a way. So having this bra, lack of bra, isn't helping that whole situation. And so, for him, you know, and for just everybody. So she goes into the barn to get the eggs, and you can tell that she's already, like, kind of put off by him. Like, she knows he looks at her and watches her and stuff like that. And so she's just like, whatever. So she runs in there, and she's collecting eggs, and he kind of sneaks around the side to watch her through like a little peephole. And I'm sorry, but this is, I've had chickens, and this is like the sexiest anyone's ever collected eggs before. I'm like, this is not, like, because she gets in there and she's got a pair of jeans and like a sweatshirt over a white tank top and a jean coat. And she gets in there, and I guess right away she's like super hot, and she takes off the jacket and the gray sweatshirt. And so she just got this like real thin tank top thing. And then she's like on her hands and knees, like walking around getting eggs. And it's like, really? It's like, okay. Like, I guess that's the point, to make it really alluding and exotic for Mr. Yates. But it's a lot. Like, I'm like, okay, girl, you know? And so she's collecting the eggs, but really, like I said, I've had chickens, and I've never, yeah, it doesn't go like that. Also, hay, I don't find hay super attractive. Maybe it's because of allergies and stuff, but I don't know. Because animals go to the bathroom in it. I don't know. So this part's kind of gross. So Mr. Yates is watching her through the hole while she's on her hands and knees getting chicken eggs. And I mean, she's very cute. You know, I like Patricia Arquette a lot. She's a pretty good actress and stuff. But like, it's kind of gross because, I mean, he's doing a good job playing this, but Mr. Yates is like, you can tell he's just like, he's sweating and like watching her, and you know, and he can't handle it, you know. So then she realizes someone's watching, and she looks over, and she, you know, kind of puts her coat and stuff and grabs the eggs and starts to leave, puts everything back on, or starts heading out the door. And as she is, Mr. Yates comes over and says that she needs to go milk the cow. And she's like, well, Mrs. Yates said I have to get these eggs, and she's like really mad and everything. And he's like, I don't care, I say you need to go milk the cow. And she's like, fine, I'll milk the stupid cow. And like, before she goes to do that, she looks over, and he's got like a rack of keys around his neck on like a necklace, and she knows that one of those keys goes to this old car that he's been working on or whatever, and you know, belongs to their cars. And so you can tell there's like an urge of, she wants to get out of there. At this point, you don't really know why she's here or like, but she wants to leave. She doesn't like being here. I'm guessing she doesn't have a whole lot of money and have nowhere to go. So she goes in to start milking the cow, and he kind of heads in there after her, and he's kind of like coming on to her and things like that. And he starts getting really, and he starts saying, you know, like, I guess like that she should be grateful and all this stuff. And it's just real creepy how he, I don't know. He's like, I don't know. He's an adult man. He's just acting like it. I don't know. And he's like breathing heavy and stuff. And she's just milking this poor cow. And so he basically is just sneaking up on him. He hits a lantern and scares her. And like you said, he just says he wants to talk. And basically, it seems like a while back, he had picked her up outside of like a grocery store that said that they got robbed or somewhere like that. So they kind of saved her. Like, they picked her up. She was in a bad situation. And I guess they were like, hey, you can come stay with us and help us out. But then I guess it's been a while and she's been being abused and hasn't been able to get away. And they want to keep her there as long as they can because they need someone to take care of them and help out. But it's becoming a little bit of a problem with Mr. Yates, who can't keep his hands to himself. And so he attacks her in the barn.
Mr. Yates, I'm gonna tell you what, let me be!
You do! And I'm gonna call the police! Tell them about how I picked you up running that night outside the Stop and Go when the owner was yelling about how he got robbed.
Please, call the police. Call the police, I won't be anywhere but here.
No. Which, you come to this farm, little girl, you don't get to leave. Not ever.
And she's trying to fight back, and she doesn't want anything to do with this, and he's, you know, fighting her and stuff, and he ends up grabbing a beer bottle off the side of the window and hits her over the head, and she's gets knocked out. And okay, that's what it was. Yeah, so she was outside of not a restaurant, but outside like a gas station, and the owner yelled about being robbed. So there's a good chance she robbed the place and he was like her way out. But it seems like she's just a young woman in a bad situation and was trying to just, you know, but somehow she ended up in this place to kind of hide out. And so she's been too afraid to say anything to like the police about, or like she was threatening to say something to the police about him attacking her right now. But that then he would maybe give her away for the other thing. So she's kind of stuck. So he knocks her unconscious, and she's got this like blood all over her face. And then Mrs. Yates ends up hearing the screams. And so she comes running out, and she's like, Mary Jo, you know, like, where's she at? And she heads her to the barn, and Mr. Yates is like covering her up with a bunch of straw and hay, you know, and just like covering her up like, it's fine, she won't see it, you know, whatever. And so she gets over to the barn, and gosh, it's just, Mr. Yates comes out of the barn after covering her up, and he's just sweating, and he looks so guilty. Like, he's just so guilty, like, oh, I didn't hear Mary Jo screaming. What are you talking about? And Mrs. Yates, Louisa, is totally catching on. And then she knows that there's some milk on Mr. Yates's coat and on his jacket. And so she's like, well, how'd you do that? And he's like, well, I guess I was milking the cow and I spilled some. And she's like, you don't milk the cow. Mary Jo milks the cow. So she like pushes past him and she's looking for her and they can't find her. And then they go to look and like she's gone. So Mary Jo has gotten up kind of in a concussion like stupor and she's walking through the cornfield. And so they're like, okay, well, we got to go get her, you know, because, you know, she's walking through the cornfield and everything. She's got a bad head wound. They don't want her to get away because they need the help. And there's like the best line here as they're leaving the barn. Mr. and Mrs. Yates are leaving the barn to go find Mary Jo. And Mrs. Yates is like,
you don't kill help, George. You beat him, but you don't kill him.
Yeah, but she spilled the milk, Lisa.
There's always more milk. There ain't always more help.
And I was like, I love that. I love the fact that she's like, you don't beat the help. You don't kill the help, you just beat them. It's like, really? It's not like she's hired help or... You shouldn't beat anyone anyway, but you know what I mean? Like, they head outside the barn and they see there's a bunch of blood, like, doing a trail towards the cornfield. So they know where she went. And so Mary Jo's out there in the cornfield and she comes across this creepy clown scarecrow that's out on the rod thing out there on, like a cross-looking thing. And he's out there and he's got a creepy, like, happy kind of face. And... she falls in front of him and she's kind of like looking up at him and she ends up passing out. And so Mr. and Mrs. Yates catch up to her because Mrs. Yates jumps on his back and they walk through the cornfield because she can't walk very well. And they catch up with her and Mr. Yates just kind of irritated me when he said, he was like, you know, when she comes to, because she's still alive, they're like, oh my gosh, is she dead? But she's still alive. And he's like, when she comes to, don't listen to what she said. You know, she had a brain injury, you know? And it's like, jerk, you know, you're the one who did. Don't act like she's, like, you can't, like, cover in your ass or whatever for what you did to her. And so Mrs. Yates like, why? What's she gonna say, you know? And he's like, I don't know. And so they get her in and they bring her inside and like, fix her up and everything. And you know, they clean her up and she seems like she's doing okay. So now, you know, it's later that night and she's back in the kitchen. And of course she has, again, no bra on and a white sweatshirt. Which, I don't know why, it just bugs me, because it's like, I guess because it makes it seem like she's being, like, a tease, or like he should be, I don't know. I also find it is, like, a little distracting in the episode, if there is, like, wear a different colored shirt, or so, you know, if she didn't want to wear one, fine. But the fact that this was on HBO, and things like that, I have a feeling it was kind of more like she had to, or something, but you never know, maybe not. Either way, boobs are boobs, whatever boobs. So now it's nighttime, Mary Jo's cooking them dinner. And Mr. Yates is at it again, coming over. Like, Mrs. Yates is somewhere else in the house, and he's coming over and, like, sniffing her hair and, like, you know, like, hugging on her and stuff. And she also here is wearing, like, a pair of really worn jeans where, like, part of her butt cheek is kind of showing. And it's like, why? Get this girl some clothes. Like, what? And like I said, so he's hugging all over, and she's like, oh, no, stop. You know, stop being, you know. And he's like, I'm just trying to be friendly. And she's like, no, I already have a guy. And he's like, what do you mean you have a guy? And she's like, he's out in the field. He's my new man, you know, and one day he's going to make love to me and he's my new man. And they're like, what are you talking about, you know? And he's like, you must have really hit your head really bad. And she's just like, no, he's this great man and everything like that. And so, and Mr. Yates is like, there's no one here for like 60 miles except for us. So I don't know what you're talking about. You must be crazy from hitting, you know, from what I did to you, you know? And so she eventually sits down fighting his advances and he comes over and he starts to whisper like, I'm really good in bed. And then as soon as he starts doing that, like, Mrs. Yates comes in like, what are you guys talking about? You know, and she's instantly like, she knows what's up. She knows how her, like, what her husband's doing in a, you know, in a way. And so she eventually, you know, Mrs. Yates asks Mary Jo about the man.
I got me a man.
You do, huh? This man here is, what's he look like?
Well, he's real tall and he always wears a hat and a suit. And he's all smiling at me. And he's so big and strong.
Enough of that.
Someday he's gonna make love to me.
Enough, I said! Now get in there and set the table!
So she heads back upstairs, and then Mr. and Mrs. Yates are kind of like, well, cool, like, she's crazy. Like, we're doing a good thing of keeping her, because no one else will take her in. And we're, you know, like, kind of like, oh, we're so good, and luckily she'll stay here forever and take care of us, which would be great. So they're like, cool, poor thing is what they call, they say she's touched, you know, now that she's been hit and stuff. So, great, we'll just keep her, you know. So it's later that night, Mr. Yates is in bed with Ms. Yates are sleeping, and he's having, you know, dreams about Mary Jo and the chicken coop. And he kind of wakes up from having bad dreams, and he hears some noises outside, and he looks out there, and Mary Jo's out in the yard, like, frolicking towards the cornfield in her nightgown and, like, a robe or something. And so she heads out there to see her man, who is the scarecrow that she is in love with, this creepy, happy scarecrow. And Mr. Yates is following her. And he comes up behind her, like, she's kind of, like, kissing on the scarecrow and, you know, like, hugging on him and, like, oh, I'm so happy to see you and I can't wait till you can come alive and be with me and all this stuff. And so he comes up and kind of grabs from behind her and he's trying to, like, collect her, like, thoughts, like,
he's not real, Mary Jo. He's just rag and straw and a pole stuck in the ground. He can't make love to you.
Yes, he can. He will someday. I know he will.
You listen to me, you little simpleton. He ain't no flesh and blood man. I am.
No!
She wants nothing to do with that, so she runs away. So he heads back inside. And there's Mrs. Yates waiting for him. And she's like, where have you been? And he's like, oh, there's just a critter out there running around bothering the chickens. And then she hears Mary Jo laughing outside. And she's like, well, there's your critter. She's like, I know exactly what you're doing. And so she basically tells George, like, you better not be cheating on me. And he's like, I haven't cheated on you. And she's like, oh, I know. I know you haven't. She's like, but if you do.
You know what I'd do to you if I caught you cheating on me, don't you? Same thing you do to bulls when you want them to be steers.
And I was like, all right. So she's pretty upset. She knows what's up. She calls him a fool. She says George is a fool. He's a stupid old fool. The next morning, he's out there working on a tractor, driving the tractor. And Patricia Arquette comes out. And she's in a cute outfit. It's like this cute, like, I think it's like a denim-y skirt or something. And like a white button up top. Again, see-through, no bra. But it is a cute outfit. It's very farmy. I like it. It's cute. And she's out there. And she's kind of being sweet to Mr. Yates. And kind of like, just, like, not even mentioning, like, what happened last night. And just, like, yeah, I wore this outfit for my man, and he's gonna like it. And so he's just kind of patronizing her, like, or just kind of, like, sure, honey. You know, like, because, you know, he's like, she's crazy, you know, sure. And so later, you know, after all this, that night, again, he's having dreams about being with her. He kind of gets this idea. And so she's running out into the wood. Like, later that night, Mary Jo's running back out into the woods. I think I'm assuming, like, every night she wants to go out there now. It's been a couple nights to go see her scarecrow man. So she's out there in her white nightgown, and she's got, like, some streamers on, or, like, a scarf and, like, a little bow on her hair, like a Christmas bow. And she's, like, hugging all over the scarecrow and stuff and kissing on him. And then the scarecrow starts to come off the cross and, like, hugging on her, and she's so excited, and they're making out, and you know, she's so excited that he's actually alive, he's actually there for her. You know, Mrs. Yates is back in the house, and she wakes up and she realizes her man, you know, her husband's not there, and she's like, you know, that's it, I've had it enough, I can't take it anymore. So she heads outside with, like, a pitchfork, and she gets on the tractor and starts heading out towards the cornfield with the light on, because she can't, like I said, she can't walk really well, she's kind of she's got, like, a leg brace and stuff. So she heads out there, and Mary Jo is still, like, kind of making out and stuff with the scarecrow dude. He hears the tractor, the scarecrow hears the tractor, and starts getting back up, you know, onto the cross and getting back on her. And Mary Jo's like, oh, no, don't leave me. Why are you leaving? You know, you're supposed to be with me. She's, like, climbing him. And then Mrs. Yates gets over there, and she's like, girl, what are you doing out here? Where's my husband? And Mary Jo is like, I don't know. I'm just out here with my man, and I love him. And Mrs. Yates is like, you're crazy, he's made of straw, he's a straw man. And Mary Jo's like, no, he's not. And so just to prove it, Mrs. Yates starts stabbing the straw man up on the pole.
Don't argue with me, you little fool. I'll show you a straw. No! See?
She stabs him a few times, and then she realizes that there's blood coming out from the chest of the scarecrow. And so you realize that Mr. Yates came up with a bright idea to go dress up as the scarecrow. It is a little clever, but it's still, like, kind of weird. He decides to dress up as the scarecrow, get on the pole, and then he was gonna, you know, do things with her, and then he got interrupted, not thinking his wife would realize he was in there. And so she stabs it and realizes she had just killed her husband. And he starts falling off the pole, and she starts calling him like, you old fool, you stupid old fool. You know, I can't believe you did this. I just killed you. She's realizing what happened and that he had dressed up as the Scarecrow, and she's really upset. And while she's panicking and everything, Mary Jo grabs the pitchfork, comes up behind Mrs. Yates, stabs her in the back. Mrs. Yates screams. She pulls it out. She puts down the pitchfork. She gets the keys off of Mrs. Yates, and she starts singing the song she was singing earlier.
Papa, and I don't care. I'm free at last.
She's like, I'm free, and just like leaves her little Christmas bow and takes off running towards the truck. It's easy to see here the twist, which is really fun. She was faking it all along. She wasn't crazy. She had set this up. You know, she's like, I'm free at last. Woohoo. You know, she's so excited. And I love this ending because it's like she had been playing them for a little bit, probably since the time, probably not that long. I'm guessing since the time she saw the keys around his neck and noticed that the truck was getting fixed and things like that. So it was probably only like 3 days earlier. I mean, luckily he didn't kill her in the beginning, you know, with the bottle and stuff. And it could have also been maybe she decided after she got back in and they fixed her up. That's when she started acting like she had had a head injury and that she was in love with the Scarecrow. And she looked up at him, I guess, in the field. She got this idea of like, okay. And this Scarecrow, I mean, it was a big Scarecrow and everything. So, I mean, it would have worked. I mean, you can definitely feel the difference. Probably, I'm sure when she hugged him, it wasn't straw. But she was playing them. They just thought she was mentally unstable. So it worked out because then he went, she knew that he would eventually, she was kind of leading him on the day before. So kind of acting like kind of keep leading him out there, keep showing him the Scarecrow, kind of putting it in his head of like, okay, well, maybe if I dress up as a Scarecrow, she'll be with me. And so she knew that would happen and that Mrs. Yates would figure it out. Now, it may not have always worked that way, but her plan worked pretty good. And I don't know if she was also trying to pull a fast one on him. They didn't really have a lot of money or anything, so she just wanted to get out of there. So I was like, good for you, girl. And so she like didn't have a head injury or, I mean, she probably still might, but she didn't have a love for a Scarecrow or anything. She was just playing them. So it was a really fun twist. I'd forgotten about this one and I was like, ah, that's nice. And so she really just wanted out this whole time. So that's the end of the episode. So then it cuts to the Crypt Keeper and he's wearing the creepy clown mask from the Scarecrow and talking about everything that happened and stuff. And he's still got the little cowboy getup with, or like the, he's got a pair of overalls and things on.
Crypt Keeper, you're so punny.
So the best Crypt Keeper pun is,
that young lady certainly knew how to make her point. And just when George was going to reward Mary Jo for all her hard work with a big bonus. Now that is definitely not what you call safe sex.
That, I mean, I get it, point, because of the pitchfork. But there's some, I don't know, some of the stuff in this one was a little sexual and innuendos and stuff on this one. Well, he had fun with this one. But yeah, so that was the end of the episode. That's the end of season 2, episode 9. There's no trivia for this one. And the next episode will be season 2, episode 10, The Ventriloquist Dummy. So yeah, so thank you for listening to the Good Evening Kitties podcast. If you want to reach me, you can email me at goodeveningpod@gmail.com. You can also check me out on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Podbean, and Podbay. And if you would like, rate, review, subscribe, something, it's the Christmas season right now, and I'd really like some 5-star reviews on my iTunes for Christmas. So if any of you else want to do that, that would be amazing. And again, thank you for listening.
I just had quite a scare. I actually thought my heart was beating.